Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now, your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Well, hello there. We're back, our dear Blood River Radio audience. I just happen to thank one of our dear supporters, Biscuit down in Florida. He sent a term to me on the it's a great coined word coin. He coined a phrase or a word. Patriotard. That's what we see in the Southern Baptist, United Methodist, and we see all these so-called Christians that are they're saying to kill in the name of Jesus, to assassinate President Putin, to assassinate and bomb Russians. They're just stupid patriotards, and I have no truck with those people. Anyway, people, we're in the second hour now, and we have on Miss Monica Schaefer, my little blood sister, little sister Monica Schaefer, and my brother, the one and only Bitter Ender, Gene Andrews. And we also have Rand, the old Alabama coon hunter. He's kind of sitting in the stands. We'll get a chance. We'll bring him in and ask some questions and stuff. But Gene has been preparing all week. Probably didn't have to prepare much because he is the resident historian here at Blood River Radio. He's going to present a project that he's worked on all week comparing Putin to Lincoln. And Miss Monica Schaefer is going to chime in. And I'm sure we'll have time for Rand to ask him questions as we go down the road. So anyway, go ahead and say hello to the audience, Miss Monica. And then Gene, you can, since we'll let the ladies go first. Go ahead, Sister Monica.
Hello. And I would just like to say that I listened to that first hour and it was absolutely fantastic. So if people are just tuning in now, go to the archives and listen to that hour one that just happened. It was dynamite. And, you know, one of the things I just wanted to comment on, and then I'm going to give it back to you, Eddie, but about losing friends or new friends. See, when we go down this path, well, a very close family friend said to me, even before I talked about Holocaust, Holohoax, even just when I was talking about 9/11 truth, which I consider to be kindergarten level now, but she said, oh, Monica, you should stop talking so much about that. You're going to lose friends. And then I think to myself, well, these friends that I have now, people like yourselves, I am just so happy and honored to be in these circles now. It is just so rich and wonderful and strong. And yeah, that's a comment I wanted to make after listening to the first hour.
Well, I'm sure Gene feels the same way I do. I'm sure Rand feels the same way I do. It is a supreme honor. And I just figure that God, in his infinite kindness and mercy, brought us all together. I really do. I most certainly do. That comes from my heart. I love you people to death. I'm not, that sounds mushy. It's just mushy, but I do. There's nothing I wouldn't do for you. And I just got a text from old Biscuit down in Florida. He said he was not the first person to coin a patriotard. He said that Mark Tomey said, used the term patriotard a while back, and he liked it so much he said he uses it regularly. But Biscuit down there in Florida, brother, I'm going to say you did it, because I tell you what, you've been such a great supporter of Blood River Radio. But anyway, people, you heard us say, as we're getting ready to come on, Gene Andrews, the professor, the Bitter Ender himself, General Bitter Ender, he's got this project he's been working on, and he probably didn't have to work it on more than 10 minutes because he's a history instructor anyway. So go ahead, take it away, Bitter Ender.
No, that's an interesting point he made about all of these church groups and these, you know, warmongers that we have in Congress, like Lindsey Graham. They just can't wait to get us in another war. It's always the people that are too old to be drafted or too old to serve that are so fired up about getting us in a war. And yes, I guarantee you, they're never going to hear a shot fired in anger, and most of them never have anyway. They never served in a war, and the people that have been there and seen what and have seen what goes on, they're not out there beating the drums to get us into another war. I'll guarantee you that. They've seen what it's like. They've seen their friends blown to pieces and lose arms or their sight or whatever. And the situation where we're going to call in the military and go into a war, the enemy better be down at the end of my block, which is only about 50 yards long, before I'm going to get into something like that. So, it's amazing how all these people are so fired up about getting us in there, but they're not going. And, they probably never been before. Anyway, I just thought that was an interesting comment that our gentleman down in Florida made about that. So what we had talked about was the prostitutes in the media and their reporting and what they've done. And they're comparing Putin to Hitler. And that's what the liberals always do. Anybody they don't like is a Hitler, you know, whether it's Putin. Trump was compared to Hitler. Governor Wallace of Alabama, they compare him to Hitler. And, I mean, if you don't like the Tampa Bay Buccaneers football team, then Tom Brady, the quarterback, is another Hitler. You know, that's what they do. Anybody they don't like is a Hitler. So I thought what we'd do is give our audience a little background on what happened when Germany, and they're talking about Germany invading Poland. And what happened when Germany did have to go into Poland? As you know, after World War I, Germany was just raked over the coals and totally screwed blue and tattooed by that Treaty of Versailles. And they took away East Prussia, and a lot of the Germans then were living under a Polish dictatorship. And the prime minister died, and they had this new dictator that came in and took power. And originally, the Germans and Poles were getting along fairly well. There were still a lot of things that Hitler wanted to get worked out about this territory, the Polish corridor and Danzig on the Baltic Sea. And they were trying to get it worked out. Well, he died. A new dictator took over, Marshal, and I hope I can pronounce this right. It's YDZ Rides Smigley. And he was the one that cracked down on the German citizens living in Polish Poland. And there were estimates that anywhere from 3,000 to 5,000 were killed. And that's why Hitler was begging the British and the French to do something about it. So what happened was this marshal that was now head of Poland signed a treaty with England and with France, which Churchill actually pushed him into signing, and saying that if Germany invaded Poland or made any military action against Poland, England and France were going to jump in there in a war to defend Poland. Now, obviously, this clown that was head of Poland couldn't read a map, because how are England and France going to help Poland when the only way to get from France to Poland is right through Germany? So you have to wonder, you know, what kind of mental capacity this guy had. He can't read a map and thinks that England and France or that the Germans are just going to open up the Autobahn and say, pass on through, and tell them as they're coming. Well, this would be in South Germany. As they're coming through, they'd be saying, now, y'all be careful now, you hear? And just let them go zipping right on through Germany into Poland. So that was the reason that Germany had to go into Poland, was to rescue the German citizens there. Of course, they went in on September 1st, 1939, and on September 3rd was referred to as Bloody Sunday, when the Bolsheviks in Poland, the red Jewish terrorists, raped, tortured, and massacred in the estimates of 3,000-plus German civilians in the town of Bromberg in Poland. And the massacre was known as Bloody Sunday. And then, of course, that's when the United Kingdom, Britain, and France declared war on Germany. And the New York Times and all the newspapers whined and shrieked and hollered and cried about Germany attacked Poland and everything like that. But they never mentioned this Bromberg massacre that went on that caused Germany to go in there to try to rescue their people that were being attacked by the Poles. So saying that Putin invaded the Ukraine just like Hitler invaded Poland is a total fabrication. That wasn't the reason that Germany went into Poland. And, you know, Russian citizens aren't being murdered and tortured in the Ukraine. So Putin had no reason to go in there other than just to expand the Soviet empire. And that's been going on since back in the days of Stalin. They had a famine in the Ukraine because the Russians were taking all the food away. Their idea of taking care of the Ukraine was just to starve everybody there. And there were people even resorting to cannibalism. It got so bad in the Ukraine when the Russians were taking all the food out of there and just starving them to death to eliminate them. So, once again, the media just plays on sensationalism and hysteria. So the thing that really has gotten me the last week or so when all this is going on and they're comparing Putin to Hitler and all that, our good friend Michael Grissom out there in Oklahoma that wrote Southern by the Grace of God and The Last Rebel Yell and a lot of the pro-South books, he emailed me and he said they've got it all wrong. They need to be comparing Putin to Lincoln. Lincoln launched an unprovoked war against the South. There was no reason. There was no military action in the South against Lincoln until he deliberately created a false flag event and sent that fleet into Charleston Harbor under the false premise that, well, the poor soldiers out in Fort Sumter were being starved by these evil South Carolinians. They wouldn't let them get food, and it was terrible. They were sending a boat in every day into the Charleston Harbor, buying food at the market, going back out to Fort Sumter. So that they were being starved is a lie, but it was an excuse for a war. And Lincoln even admitted he needed a war to force the southern states back into his empire, and he needed to have them fire the first shot. So when this fleet started coming into Charleston Harbor, they made one more attempt to get Major Anderson, the U.S. officer in command of the Union troops that had gone out and taken over Fort Sumter. It wasn't even occupied. It was under construction. They came over from the north side of the harbor in Charleston from Fort Moultrie, went out there to Fort Sumter, kicked all the construction crew out, and took it over.
Dear Gene, what a history lesson. We have to go to our first break in the second hour.
And I'll shut up and let Monica take over after we come back from the break.
Well, you did a great job. People, hold on. We're going to go back to school in just a few minutes. Be right back.
I'm Michael Hill, president of the League of the South. I and my compatriots are Southern nationalists. We seek the survival, well-being, and independence of the Southern people, our people. The League wants a South that enjoys the sweet fruits of Christian liberty and prosperity, but our current situation won't allow it. We must have our independence from Washington, D.C., and the globalists. The present system cannot be reformed. Without independence, we will continue down this path of destruction. To us, this is not acceptable. I'm asking you, Southern man and woman, to join us today to free the South. Call us at 256-757-6789 or see our website at www.leagueofthesouth.com. God save the South.
Hey, this is Matt from Blood River Radio. Blood River Radio is your voice to save our land, our people, and our future. We propose Christian solutions to an anti-Christian assault on our bloodlines. We love what we do, but we cannot do it without your help. The annual operating cost of Blood River Radio is more than even a team of people should bear alone. With your donation, we can take the fight to our enemies and hold our own people accountable for their treachery against us. Please go to our website, www.bloodriverradio.com, and find a way to help us that is suitable for you. We are thankful for any cash, check, or money orders we get. We also appreciate your correspondence or letters of encouragement. Once again, please help, and thank you for joining the fight.
Blood River Radio family, thank you so much for holding on. I'm going to make a quick comment here. We're talking amongst ourselves during the break. I'd like to clear up a little bit of why Putin was forced to go into Ukraine. Basically, here's what it is. And Rand mentioned, talked about it. Dr. Hill talked about it. For years, the NATO, under control of the United States, they have been placing weapons, heavy weapons, into Ukraine right up on the border within meters of the border of Russia. They've flown bombers, bombers capable of carrying atomic bombs within a mere kilometers of Russia. picture this. This is what's going on in Ukraine. Picture if the Soviet, if the Russians brought in heavy tanks, bombers, missiles of every type, and they could reach San Diego, San Francisco, they could reach Washington in 5 minutes. Like their missiles right there in the Ukraine, Putin said, could reach Moscow and take out Moscow within 5 minutes. You've got heavily armed army right there on their border. NATO and the stinking United States, the politicians are warning, they broke their word. They were going to bring Ukraine and Georgia, some of the other provinces there, into NATO. Putin cannot allow that. He cannot allow bio-nuke weapons. Like Dr. Hill brought this to fact. There are laboratories on the Ukrainian soil, probably run by this Fauci criminal, producing God only knows what kind of viruses, God only knows what have you. Well, that's it in a nutshell. Through NATO, the United States, they're having weapons, heavy weapons, military, within meters of the Russian border. Putin has been warning him for a long time about that. He said they could either take these heavy tanks, these missiles out, or he would take them out. Picture, like I said, picture this. We almost went to nuclear war back in 1961. I remember it because the Russia was bringing in nuclear-armed missiles into Cuba. That's 90 miles away. We're talking about 9 kilometers away from the Russian border. So anyway, that's pretty much in a nutshell why Putin is having to go take these clowns out. And my only hope, I wish the Russians would come into Mexico and guard our southern border, because our damn United States government sure not going to guard our border. Back to you, Rand. Rand has some points he'd like to make that was left over from the first hour. Then we'll go back to Monica, then back to Gene. Go ahead, Rand.
Well, thank you, Eddie, for giving me a few more minutes, and I've enjoyed the first part of the second hour. But, you know, one thing about the false narrative that we have to think about is that, you know, as Ukraine loses some of these positions as the Russians come in, and I'm not there, and I don't know this for a fact, but they could be very well bombing or sabotaging some of these facilities as they have to leave them to make it look like the Russians did it. And there again, I don't know if that's true or not, but it's certainly a possibility, because I can't put anything past the devils that are behind all of this. And to get back to that standard that I spoke of in the first hour, that standard has always been with us since the beginning of time. There's nothing new under the sun. And we have to get back to that standard. We have to get that standard, you have to reach for it. And I'm talking about our Lord Savior, Jesus Christ, because the dragon, Lucifer, the devil, he is so deceitful. Read the Bible. Deceit, deception, it's mentioned over and over and over. And the ones that are mentioned in Revelation 2:9 and 3:9, they are of the wicked one, and they are deceitful. And if you don't do your research to a T, even the Bible says even the elect would be deceived if you don't reach out for that standard. But that standard is what we have got to get back to. And I'll say this in closing, and I'll let the other guys have it. We got to be in this shape in our country. Alabama's my country, but let's just say the United States. By doing nothing, how much longer are we going to do nothing? How much longer?
You're brilliant.
Just in closing, go to 2 Timothy 4. Chapter 4, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 2 through 4, that's where we're at today. Read it for yourself. I love y'all.
That's love you too, Rand. That's brilliant. People can so easily underestimate you because you're such a kind-hearted person. You're a southerner, an agrarian. You are brilliant. Before we go to Monica, I'd like to read this. My little sister Janice sent this in, and she's absolutely right. She says that we have heard that Putin going into the Ukraine is exactly why Hitler went into Poland, Donetsk, and the other areas. Or 75, the other areas. Is that part they're going into? It looks like, if I'm reading this right, 75% Russian. And Ukrainians are killing and discriminating against them. Putin is protecting these regions. Also, that area used to be part of Russia until one of the USSR leaders just threw it, drew it into part of the Ukraine. That's exactly what I've been hearing too, Miss Sister Janice. Thank you for sending that in. Anyway, back to you, Sister Monica.
Okay. Well, I mean, at risk of, you know, just repeating an old cliche, but the first casualty in war is truth, and it is really, really difficult for us to discern what it really is going on. I would say that one thing is for sure, and we know this, the Jews are orchestrating and doing things behind the scenes basically to create these brother wars. And I'm going to actually read a little quote from 1859, Rabbi Reichshorn. He was the chief rabbi in France. So this is not just some lowly guy, okay? Chief rabbi in France, Rabbi Reichshorn, 1859. This is what he said. Wars are the Jews' harvest, for with them we wipe out the Christians and get control of their gold. We have already killed 100 million of them, and the end is not yet. Finish the quote. So, you know, that was 1859. Then came the modern day 30-year war, which we call World War I and World War II. And I deliberately call it the 30-year war because First World War led directly to World War II. And Gene was explaining that very well. And, you know, there were, well, Germany was torn apart. I think about 13% of its territory was taken from it. People were starving. They had all kinds of, they lost the Saarland coal fields to France for 15 years. They had to demilitarize. They were only allowed, you know, cut the army to 100,000 men and retain only 6 battleships, no submarines, no air force. They had to assume the war guilt clause. So in other words, they had to accept blame for starting the war, which is nonsense. And they had to pay $31.4 billion in reparations. Now, I'm not sure, but it is said that equivalent in 2021 euros would have been 284 billion euros. And it took them 92 years to repay the World War I reparations. And we know that after World War II, they had to pay reparations to the Jews forevermore, and they still are, for a fictional, you know, Holocaust, the fictional story. And so this is a war on whites. I mean, it's a war first against the Germans, but now it's a war on all whites. And I have to say, this is something I was not even aware of until I learned all these other things. You know, people would accuse me, oh, now she's a racist and all this stuff, bigot. And it's because you become aware once you go down the rabbit hole and learn, you know, first it was 9/11 for me and then World War II and the Holocaust. And then I started to figure out, gee, they don't like us white people very much. There's an actual war against us. It was just a revelation that came after all those other things became apparent to me that we've been lied to about. So anyway, that's what I wanted to say about that. And as far as Putin goes, I don't know if he's, you know, like, I think that to go into Ukraine, he was provoked, just like Adolf Hitler was provoked to go into Poland. And he tried everything to negotiate
Music. I didn't know if you heard the music or not. People, we'll go right back to a break and we'll come right back afterwards. So hold on to your seats.
Producer pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Wendy King.
Ukrainian President Vladimir Zelensky spoke with about 300 U.S. lawmakers. He told them he needs jets and military support in the war with Russia. A ceasefire, which was meant to give civilians a chance to escape Ukraine, has been violated by Russia. Reports are coming in that Russian shelling continues and citizens are being targeted. The State Department has reissued a travel advisory telling U.S. citizens not to go to Russia due to the war. The White House is considering more sanctions against Russia, where the economy is already in freefall. They're asking for $10 billion in emergency defense and humanitarian assistance for the country. Russia is cracking down on news media in their own country, including social media. They passed a law which criminalizes any information opposing the Kremlin's narrative on the war. This is USA Radio News.
Hi, I'm Wayne Allyn-Root. There are two things that I care about. I'm always working on my health and fitness, and I care so much about preventing illness. And that's where vitamin D comes in. Vitamin D is also known as the sunshine vitamin. How do you know if you have low levels of vitamin D? Most people don't. Sons of Liberty, our regular sponsors of CBD, have been working with a group of scientists to create this patent-pending spray vitamin. Five sprays contain a whopping 15,000 IUs of vitamin D3. It's instantly in your bloodstream, providing amazing protection against illness, and the taste is amazing. Protect yourself and your loved ones this season with this great-tasting vitamin D3 spray from Sons of Liberty. For my listeners only, go sonsofliberty.com is offering a discount of 15% off every product when you use the code WAR15 at checkout. Please support veteran-owned, service-disabled, small business. Go sonsofliberty.com. Make the healthy choice and choose go sonsofliberty.com. Use code WAR15 to get up to 15% off. Go sonsofliberty.com.
Former Vice President Mike Pence told Republican donors that the party has no room for Russian President Vladimir Putin apologists. Pence has also argued about the merits of NATO, standing in stark contrast to former President Trump, who has previously suggested withdrawing from the alliance. Pence has also appeared to hit out at Trump for his repeated false claims that he lost the 2020 presidential election because of voter fraud. He said that elections are about the future and that the party cannot win by fighting yesterday's battles or by relitigating the past. The speech from Pence, made during an event in New Orleans, came just a week after former President Trump praised Putin as a smart man while downplaying the Russian invasion of Ukraine in his speech. New York City Mayor Eric Adams has announced that they would suspend vaccine requirements and proof of vaccination for indoor venues and restaurants. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Excuse me, Captain. I know this may sound silly, but can you fly?
Nope. Never had a lesson.
People, just in case somebody's out there just tuning in, you're listening to Blood River Radio. I'm Eddie Bobadere Miller. We have some stellar guests on right now. One of them we're going to go right back to, Miss Monica Schaefer. Go ahead, Miss Monica. Talk about what we were talking about during the break.
Okay, yeah. Well, I think I finished my thought before the break. Then we kind of switched gears there because we were talking about the degeneracy, and you had mentioned it in the first hour about, you know, the LGBTQ and how degenerated everything is. And then I was talking about this is how it was in Berlin and Weimar Germany before Adolf Hitler came to power. And so actually I'd like to pass it over to back to Jean and, you know, to continue
on
that subject. Yeah, go ahead.
I have one comment if I could, Eddie. I'm sorry. I don't
Go ahead. Go ahead, Brad. You're fine, fella.
What Monica said in the last segment, just one point here is Lucifer is very deceitful. He can even divide the brethren. And that's kind of happened here this evening. So we got to be careful. He is the great deceiver. He can even divide the brethren. And that's all I wanted to say.
Well, Miss Monica always says, and she names it so, she names the Mossad so truthfully, she says that their motto is, by deception we shall wage war. Go ahead, Gene, back to you, brother.
No, that was interesting point that Monica made earlier, calling the time period between World War One and through World War Two the 30-year war. And I never looked at it like that. I thought that, you know, the 30-year war and all these things happened back in Europe in the 1600s and the 1700s. But that's true. It World War One and the conditions that were forced on Germany were the cause for World War Two, and they don't want to mention that. But, you know, after World War One, the Allies never set foot in Germany. The armistice came, and the lines were still in France. And, of course, Russia had folded. They were out of the war altogether. So there was never an invasion of Germany like it was in World War Two. The armistice was signed, and the Germans signed an armistice. And an armistice is not a surrender. It's a ceasefire. And they were assuming that they were going to negotiate an end to this war and this conflict that had been slaughtering all white people, all of our people, on both sides, French, British, German, American, Belgian, everyone else that was involved in this thing. And then the Allies said, oh, no, no, no. And now once the fighting had stopped, you're going to have to surrender. The Germans said, you know, man, blank you and the horse you rode in on. We're not doing that. So they put a blockade on food and medicine, anything coming to Germany. And I think Monica probably would tell us how many German civilians, mostly older people and young children, had died from that Allied blockade. And they pretty much had to sign a surrender document, Treaty of Versailles, and then that was where all the victorious, in quotes, allies started taking territory away from Germany and imposing all of these horrific conditions on Germany for, quote, starting the war and everything like that. So that was an excellent idea there, or quotation there, that it was actually a 30 years war from 1914 on through 1945. So a good point. Point well made. And, you know, we're kind of kicking the idea back and forth about Ukraine and Russia and so forth. And yes, I'm glad y'all brought that up about the things that the United States did to push NATO right up to the front door of Russia. And one thing you have to remember, the Ukrainians aren't all that saintly, because who is funneling all this money to Joe Biden and his son Hunter? If they're in cahoots with the Bidens, you can't say that's a Boy Scout troop that's operating there under, you know, spotless principles and things like that. Anybody that's in cahoots with the Biden has got dirty fingers in a lot of different areas. So, you know, it's like you said, the first casualty of war is the truth. And where are you going to go to get the truth on what all of this is going on? You're certainly not going to get it on the media that's controlled by the powers in Washington and the internationalists, the globalists. They're not going to give you the truth. So it takes a long time to sort it out.
Well, let me chime in on this. Just to chime in on Lee, what he said. Then we'll go to Monica, and maybe Rand may have to say something. You may remember when Papa Biden, him and his son Hunter had been making all kinds of business deals in the Ukraine. Well, the Ukrainian, like our district attorney, who's the guy who's head of our Justice Department, the Attorney General, he was hot on the trail of the Bidens. He was investigating them. They were getting ready to indict them, I understand, you know, to arraign them. And all of a sudden, Biden, Daddy Biden, goes over to Ukraine and starts pulling his strings, political strings over there. And he told them that he's going over there with sacks of money and with threats that what's going to happen if you don't take this money. In other words, he went over there and made the Ukrainian government a deal they couldn't refuse. So they fired that attorney general over there in Ukraine. You're absolutely right, Gene. They're as corrupt as hell. And so that same corrupt government that Rand and Dr. Hill talked about the first hour, they started bringing in the 90s. And this is another thing I can't understand. The patriotards, Judeo-Christians bunch, keep hollering and screaming about how we need to protect the Ukraine. They installed not only this criminal attorney general over there, they installed a Jew who can't even speak the language. This stinking Jew who's the president of Ukraine can't even speak the Ukrainian language. They've got the most corrupt government they put in there, almost as corrupt as this government here. I'm going to shut up after this. 30 days after that Jew was appointed the head honcho of the Ukraine, guess what he did? He started a gigantic government-sponsored gay pride parade, people. Brandon, you have anything to say about that, fella? Monica, back to you.
Okay. Yeah, you're talking about Zelensky there, the gay, the
correct
faggot, right?
Right, the fag.
It actually is just unbelievable that this guy is their leader. I mean, you know, he's been dancing with his high heels and spandex and whatnot. And actually, I also heard he was acting in a role in a film, and in the film he became president of the Ukraine, or do they call it prime minister? I'm not sure. But anyway, then after that, he actually did in real life become the prime minister. You can't make this stuff up, actually. It has gotten so absurd all over the world, actually, with the different things going on. I mean, you know, the Biden, who's senile, being the president of the United States of America. And yeah, but you know who's pulling all the strings behind the scenes, and who always have been all the advisors, even when they had lucid people in charge? But it's the Jews. And so the Jews, they start their wars, they profit from it, like the quote from Rabbi Reichman in 1859, the wars are the Jews' harvest. And who is it fighting and killing each other? The white people. So that's really what I think we always have to keep our focus on. And do we really know if Putin, I mean, I think he's done some really great things, but he's also been seen associating with Jews a lot. So I don't know. It's a puzzle, but he has done some really good things. And I have to say, when they made the comparison, basically on day one of the invasion into the Ukraine, when they compared with Poland and Germany, I thought, okay, thank you very much. You made this comparison. Well, there's a parallel there, because we know that they lied about that, so they're lying about this. So that's, yeah. I'll pass it back to you or one of you.
Hey, and I'm sorry, I had my phone on mute. I forgot. But
that's all right, Red.
It may be, I'm sorry, but anyway, you're exactly right, Monica, and it may be a reason that he's been rubbing elbows with Jews, because they're bloodsuckers, and they may see the blood trail going more toward Russia maybe now, more so than how it was always the United States and Europe or Great Britain, blah, blah, blah. So it's more of a balance now. So they're going to bloodsuck either way they can, because they are, I mean, you nailed them, Monica. They're the deceivers. They're the wicked ones. They're behind all of this. They're behind Hollywood. They're behind the media, the commercials, the white genocide. They are the ones. They are the enemy. And, you know, we're living in some very interesting days. And I'm for one, am glad and thankful to be alive.
You know, I'd like to briefly comment on that. Putin, like Nikita Khrushchev, and Nikita Khrushchev was a Gentile growing up in an ocean of communist Jews that ran Russia. He kind of came in and he stabbed some of those Russians, those Jews in the back. He was talking one of them about, I don't remember exactly what conference it was. But, we're going to a break. People, we'll come back. I'll finish my comment briefly, and then we'll go back to, let's go back to Gene. Be right back, folks.
Okay, listen up, people. I'm beating the bushes for a few good men. I don't want you boys the alt-right. I want the hardcore of the hard right. And I need you front and center, boots on the ground, at a minute's notice, in the streets, and I need your money. You know the problem that the whites of the world face. It's the all-too-real threat of global extermination. And you know what's going on in South Africa and Western Europe. And unless you're semi-comatose, you've already seen the first stages of white genocide unfolding in our country. Our culture is under constant full-scale attack by our enemy. The enemy never sleeps. They spend day and night wrecking the monuments and the graves of our beloved kin. They attack us physically everywhere we go. They've already taken the linen and our stone. Now they're coming after our flesh. And if you're not too squeamish, if you want to be part of the number one white advocacy group and the number one white civil defense group in the United States, then contact Eddie Bombardier Miller at BloodRiverRadio.com. And please, please donate. And God knows you need us as much as we need you. Thank you.
Blood River Radio is the only news media in the United States whose sole purpose of being is to fight against the ever-rising tide of global white genocide, both soft and hard genocide, whether it is in the form of ethnic cleansing via the current massive invasion of non-white, non-Christian hordes that are overwhelming the once all-white nations of Western Europe, the United Kingdom, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, and the United States, or via the hard genocide in South Africa, where the rape, murder, and torture of whites is an ongoing daily occurrence. Though we are a Christian brotherhood, we will cooperate with other groups in our operations if it will shorten our people's casualty list. We further pledge to you to leave the radio studio at every opportunity and take it to our churches, to our universities, and most importantly, we promise to occupy the streets. However, none of our mission can succeed without funding. Please help us all that you can and donate to our cause by going to www.bloodriverradio.com.
Go ahead, make my day.
Dear, dear Blood River Radio family, Lord have mercy. I just feel blessed by God to be able to come in here and serve with you people. You people have made it possible for Blood River Radio to stay on the air. I'd just like to let you know right quickly before I forget, I'm still going down to Ole Miss after right when the kids come back from spring break. It's probably going to be a one-man operation. It's going to be like a guerrilla operation. I'm going down there. I'm going to park my bicycle within riding distance of that. I'm a bicycle riding machine. I'm going to take my little paper route bag, and I'm going to distribute the free magnolia when Dr. Hill sends them to me. I'm distributing leaflets for Blood River Radio and a few other things. But anyway, that's in June. Let's see, in June 3rd and 4th, God willing, I'll be going down to Florida to speak. I'm not going to say where in Florida because Dr. Hill might not want me to, but I'll be going down there to speak to our brothers of the League of the South. I'm sure Rand will be there. In fact, I think I'm going to ride down there with Rand, if I'm not mistaken. I'll meet him in Alabama. Rand's about halfway between here and there. Anyway, I'm going to shut up and because I've talked too much already. Go ahead, Gene. We're going to go back to you, brother.
Well, hey, I'm signing off after this segment starts. Monica is making fun of my size 13 high heels that I wear, so and that's it. I'm out of here for tonight. No. Oh, gosh. Anyway, no, it's interesting how everyone has been bringing out a lot of information that we never get on the national media here, and they pick one aspect that they want to present, and you never have a real legitimate discussion of both sides of an issue. The news media decides, and the Jew media or whatever it is, and they're all the TV networks and so forth are owned by the Jews and the newspapers, and so we only get one side of any story, and that's really, really bad, because used to journalists were supposed to present both sides and then let the public decide which were the good guys and which were the bad guys, but you know, with the propaganda machine cranked up like it is now, you only get one side, and you have to go to alternative news services like the Freedom Times you were talking about and the Sovereign. That's another good newspaper to subscribe to and find out what's going on. Or these various websites online, and Blood River Radio, of course, is the best one, to try to find out what is actually going on out there. And Monica mentioned something early on in the program that I would like to make a comment on. She was talking about how she questions these things that we're all supposed to accept, like what actually happened on 9/11, who brought the buildings down, or the Holocaust, or things like that. And friends, so-called friends, I would call them acquaintances, are shocked, and they just draw back in horror that you don't agree with the time-honored the story that we're all supposed to just swallow and accept, and they pull away. And in a way, it's kind of like separating the sheep from the goats.
You might not really want to waste a lot of time with these people if they're that really easily manipulated and refuse to see the truth. And I've found that out
right.
a lot of times.
That's right. I'll just interject, but I don't want to interrupt. I want you to continue. Sorry?
No, go ahead.
I just wanted to say that those aren't true friends. They're not true friends, right? And then you can just let them go.
Yeah, that's it. Well, that's why I said they're more acquaintances than they are true friends. So, and I've had that happen before.
Says, don't cast your pearls among the swine.
Yeah, that's it.
Amen.
The book says, don't cast your pearls upon the swine.
Yeah. And a lot of the research I've done within the last 10 or 15 years about the real causes of the Second World War and what Hitler and the Germans actually said, not what we said they said, but what they actually said, and how many attempts they made to avoid a war and trying to negotiate with Churchill and trying to negotiate and how many things Roosevelt did to promote a war and try to sucker Germany into a war. And people are so shocked and they say, well, how can you criticize the United States like that? You know, how do you, you know, want to take up sides for somebody else? And I said, well, for you as a Southerner, that should be easy to understand. They've been lying about us for 160 years. And so why do you think that they're not going to lie about the Second World War when they've been lying about our war for Southern independence for over 160 years? That's been a lie. You know, what they've said about us. And that kind of leaves that deer in the headlight look on their face, and that's pretty much it for that conversation. So, that was a good point that Monica made there about that. I think that's really something we need to look at and try to get as much information as we can before we pick who are the good guys and who are the bad guys in this sort of thing.
Here's a quote. Excellent from point. William Casey, 1981, director of the CIA. He was giving his first sort of a briefing meeting to the newly elected Ronald Reagan. He said, "We'll know our disinformation program is a success when everything the American public believes is false."
Oh, man.
That's true.
Boy, they've about 99% successful with that one right there.
Although the people are waking up. This COVID is the boot across the neck that Yuri Betsmanov talked about. You know, people can be led by the hand and shown things, and they won't believe it when they've been so demoralized especially for so long. You know, people, we've been so degenerated and demoralized by the Jewish media, the Jewish Hollywood, the Jewish everything. And so you can lead people by the hand and show them the facts and the evidence and the, you know, things right on the ground, and they won't believe it. But then until the boot is across the neck, and I would say this COVID thing is the boot across the neck. People are waking up in droves. And, you know, the spell has broken. I feel that. I felt it when the truckers' convoy came across Canada. It was like the emperor has no clothes moment. It was the moment that the child said, "But Mama, the emperor has no clothes on." I mean, it was like that. It felt like that. It felt like a spell broke, and people were joyful and dancing and happy and all kind of instantly just seeing, like, yeah, this is nonsense, all this stuff they've been doing.
Well,
so,
and
anyway.
I hope you're right that it has finally smacked people upside the face and made them wake up and see how much we've been lied to. I guess the elitists thought they could get away with this completely without any blowback against masks and ordering people to be jabbed and poked and everything else. And some of it's blowing back on them. And I think you're right, Monica. People are finally beginning to wake up and say, hey, you know, we've been lied to, and this is just one more big lie that they're trying to pull off on us. So I think that's an excellent point to make there. This may be the turning point. They've overreached themselves and gone a little bit too far this time around.
That's exactly right. And, you know, Alfred, my brother, he always has talked about how the Jews, whenever they're near what they would consider their victory, that they've completed, you know, their takeover, their subversion, and they go crazy and they overreach, and then the people kick them out. So that's where we're at now. And Alfred says, you know, there will be a massive vomiting out of this. Like, it's like when you're sick to your stomach and you cannot control it, and it all comes, you vomit it out. So this is what's going to happen. It's a biological reaction to the parasite.
Yeah. The body's trying to cleanse itself of something. It's finally realized that stuff's not good for me. You know, you can't drink all night and eat pizza and feel good the next morning. So, yeah, that'll get it out. So.
People, I'd like to make one quick comment, if you don't mind. I would like to encourage our listeners. We're here at Blood River Radio. We're always talking about, and we are about solutions, solutions, solutions. I cannot encourage you people enough to go back later to the first hour and listen to the list of solutions for about probably 15 to 20, maybe 25 minutes. Dr. Hill laid out one solution after another solution after another solution, things you need to do to prepare yourself for hard times, because we are headed for hard times. You need to do that. You really do. So go to the first hour in our car house. Well, oh yes, I got to say one more thing. Let's see, what was it? Okay, I'm going to ask you a question, then you can make a comment. I'm going to ask y'all a question. How much of this sick, beyond perverse, this satanic, sexual filth, are the people going to allow their children to be eaten by that in the schools? Are people going to offer up their children, their grandchildren, to this crap? That's the question I want y'all to answer. And before we go, in any order, if y'all don't mind, and go ahead, Rand, make your comment. Brother.
Okay. Well, yeah, that's great, Eddie. I don't know how long they're going to let it last, but I will say this. The correction that's coming, it's going to be by a few, but it's going to be led by a line. I've enjoyed being on your show, brother.
Hey, I've enjoyed you being on, brother. It's an honor to have you on, and I'll be calling you soon. I really will. Thank you so much, Rand. Go ahead, Rand. Gene, you have any comments to make? We got a couple of minutes left, I think.
No, but I think that is a good point that there are, Monica pointed this out, there are some bright spots out there in a lot of this gloom that we've been overrun with. But talking about the people refusing the mandates and the, you know, having to carry a vaccine passport and all this nonsense like that. And you look at a lot of these school board meetings where people are standing up to a lot of this garbage that is being taught, this critical race theory and a lot of the junk like that. And of course, now President Puddinhead is saying that these are domestic terrorists and all like that, and he's going to get the FBI to investigate them and the Justice Department, all that. Well, that proves that they're right. If they're trying to shut them down and keep them from speaking, that proves that what they're saying is correct.
Gene, before we forget, we're almost out of time. Please tell the people what you know about the Freedom Convoy that came through Tennessee. That's very bad. Go ahead, Gene.
Through Tennessee, and they stopped at Mount Juliet, which is out east of Nashville. They had a state park there, and the people were bringing them food. They were bringing them money for diesel fuel. They were doing whatever they can to support them and encourage these people to keep going, heading on up I-40 and then on up 81 and up through Virginia and heading up to D.C. Because they had seen what was going on in Canada and the support that the Canadians were giving those truckers coming across there and the lies and the misinformation that the government's putting out about this. So I think people are seeing whatever the national news media says and whatever the government says, believe just the opposite of that.
That's right.
I'm so glad we got that worked in. Go ahead, Miss Monica, make comments. I'm so glad we got that. There is a convoy in Tennessee merging, several of them heading to Washington, D.C. Back to you, Miss Monica, before we run out of time.
Well, I was just going to sum it up. You know, we are going to be in for hard times, like Dr. Hill was outlining in the first hour, but we are strong, and that's also his very, you know, his dominant message, too. We are strong, and we'll get through this. Yes, there's going to be hard times. Prepare, but we are strong, and that's what I wanted to end with.
Thank you so much. This has been one hell of a show. We've been blessed for all of us to come together as families and brothers and sisters. We're doing God's work. I don't care what anybody says. Well, people, dear Blood River Radio audience, that is our family, real motion audience. That's sums up the show, our 2-hour show tonight. Tune in next week, the 12th of March, same time, same place. I don't know exactly what we're going to be doing. We're going to be getting in touch with the sailors pretty soon from the USS Liberty. We'll be bringing them on before too much longer, probably. However, the June 8th, 1967 was when the thing happened, when the ship was attacked. Well, good night, everybody. Thank you so much, Jay. Thank you so much, Cameron, for running the board. Thank you, Gene. Thank you, Monica, for coming out. God bless y'all. Love y'all so much. And same thing with Rand. And in case Dr. Hill's listening, thank you so much for coming out. See y'all, people. Please pray for Blood River Radio and all the people involved in this show. Good night.